Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
Hi, I'm Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. Today at the cafe, I'm excited to have John Elves, CEO of Dirtbag Clothing, here in the studio to discuss what it means to be a dirtbag. Welcome, John.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here. We were talking in the hallway before we started, and it turns out to be we actually have some parallel history that maybe we'll get into a little bit about that. But I don't want to talk of dates because I don't want anybody to know how old we are, but we do have some history there. So before we get started, why don't you tell the audience about you and your clothing line?
I am Dirtbag John. Everyone calls me Dirtbag John. I am a passionate guy, and that is why Dirtbag is here and around. And yeah, it's...
So we're talking about 23 years now?
Yep.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, and if we have some listeners out there that are thinking about getting into the clothing industry, this will be a great podcast to listen to, but... It is a very difficult industry. It takes a lot of focus, a lot of passion, and staying true to the course because you are somewhat subject to your distribution channels and things like that.
There's a lot of variables, but it's almost like in any business or industry or even like in the music world where we kind of live in now, even though we're selling apparel, you got to have the drive and the desire to do something because it's not easy. So apparel and the music business is probably the two hardest things.
And you combined them both.
Of course.
Yeah.
Let's make it doubly hard, right?
Do they call you a crazy Dirtbag John or just Dirtbag John?
I'm sure everyone thinks we're crazy. Yeah, I'm a little out there.
Okay.
So, but yeah, you got to be a little crazy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's what keeps it fun.
All right. Well, let's. I do ask a couple questions before we get started, and the first one. When it comes to growing your business, what keeps you up at night?
Everything keeps me up at night. You know, it's just the, did I do this? Did I get that done? You know, do we have the budget to do what we really want to do? So it's everything that ties into it, but that's also what keeps you going, right? That's the juice that gets you up in the morning to go, hey, I got to make sure we're doing this. Hey, we got a show we're going to. Hey, this band is coming into town. You know, all those little things, they all add up. Because everyone can do 70, 80% of something, you know, 90% of something. It's that last 5, 10, you know, 2, 3% that really puts you over the line. And a lot of, you know, it's so hard that people, they'll get to 80% and stop.
Right.
You know, and that's what keeps me going is that last 20, 10, the 5% is really the hardest.
Has this been part of your personality all along? Because I factor in motivation. I don't care how good the product is, how good all this stuff is. If you don't have the motivation and, again, passion to keep it going. So this just part of your makeup?
It must be. You know, I was mowing lawns at 6, 7, 8.
Okay.
You know, making money early on, always self-sufficient. Early on, like my allowance when I was a kid was 50 cents a month.
Yikes.
Just because all my other friends had allowances. And I grew up with, you live under this house, you're going to earn your keep. Mm-hmm. So I was always earning my keep. And this is just another, I believe in it so much that I don't have a plan B anymore. So it is either this is going to succeed or I will, you know, keep going until it does. And for me, success, there's no top to it.
Okay.
There's no ceiling.
Yeah, it's interesting. You talk about your background as a kid. I'm from a family that also insisted that you get out there as a paper boy earlier on. I started working with my dad as in the plumbing business. Mm-hmm. That's another whole podcast talking about plumbing. But I think that instills a real drive in us and what also creates us as entrepreneurs, that willingness to really push because we've had that opportunity to really understand. I tell a story that one of my jobs as a kid was going around and collecting money for my father. Can you imagine? I'm 12 years old knocking on doors and asking people to pay his bills. It was frightening. Yeah. However, years later, I understood it. Right. So I think that's a really important aspect that you're really laying out. I think it's just part of our upbringing and the way we were raised.
It has to be in you to begin with. It's not, you can acquire it, but it's if you don't have that self-drive, it makes it so much more difficult.
Yeah, yeah. So the other question I do want to ask is, what is the best business advice you've ever gotten and or given if they happen to be different?
I ponder this for a while, and people always ask. And right now, the joke is, sell what you got.
Okay.
So in meaning that people always go, if I only had this, right? If I only had 2 t-shirts, I would do better. If I only had whatever it is, it's the excuse. But get rid of that excuse and go, I have this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sell this. And that's your mission, not giving yourself an excuse why you're not succeeding. So sell what you got. And that came from a guy who was doing $1 billion in business. And he, you know, things happen and he's like, well, we can't do this, but we're going to sell what we got. Okay. And that stuck to me.
Okay.
So it's, and to me, it was more of, you don't have an excuse why you're not succeeding. It's take what you have at the time and try and succeed with that. So you don't allow yourself an excuse to go, if I only had, well, then you're never going to make it.
Right.
Because that excuse will always be, you know, first thing to come out of your mouth when things don't go right.
Right. That's great advice. I really like that. It makes a lot of sense. We're always looking for something else to make that thing happen for us, yet we've got all these other products.
It's a safety mechanism.
Yeah, exactly.
It allows you not to look in the mirror and go, why is this not succeeding?
Okay.
Which is hard.
So I would be remiss, of course, if I didn't talk about where the origination of the clothing line, but more importantly, the name.
Mm-hmm.
I did mention in my notes to you that, and I assume you knew this, that the Long Beach State baseball program is called Dirtbags as
yep.
well.
The baseball team is the Dirtbags, which yeah. when it started, it was a nickname for them. And now it's more of an official term, and we will work out an agreement with them
nice.
For a licensing, you know, deal, since we own the trademark.
Nice.
But to get back to where you were going, how it started?
Yes.
It was in school. Not a very sexy story. It was a friend in my college class. I was in broadcasting, San Francisco State. Wore a dirtbag shirt into class, and I went, that's really cool. And I don't know why. It was just kind of like, oh, that's kind of cool, you know? And it evolved from that. And literally, I mean, just saw the shirt. I liked it. And it was, in reality, how the brand started and how this became a company was people reacting to it just like I did, stopping me on the street. Where'd you get that? Oh, that's kind of cool. That's interesting. So it was either edgy and not offensive, or it just tickled the inner dirtbag, as I say, in everybody that went, hey, there's something here. And I told my buddy, I'm like, there's something here. And he's like, I know. So we just started to evolve from there.
That's great. I mean, that so many times that's just how it happens. Just right place, right time. You see it, it makes sense. And as an entrepreneur, you took it and ran with it. So back many years ago, in the late 90s, I'll say, there we go. I was involved in the action sports industry. And as we've been talking, you were involved in the action sports industry. And so I spent about 13 years surf, skate, and snow. You started off in skate,
mm-hmm.
but somewhere along the way, you morphed, evolved into music. So talk a little bit about that road and that transition that you took, and was that obviously a great decision?
Yeah. When we started in the 90s, I won't say how old we are, there was no real music apparel. There was no, you had to be surf, skate, snow. That was the buzzword. Action sports was the thing at that time. So no one, you know, we were looking for investors, we were talking to people, we were talking to stores, retail, and you were action sports or you were nothing. And we spent a couple years, we went to all the trade shows, ASR, all the things in San Diego, we went to Magic in Vegas, we did all those trade shows, you know, action sports, where surf, skate, snow, we had skateboards and gloves, and we did a bunch of stuff in that genre, and it we were forcing it. And Doug and I were like, we're not surf, skate, snow guys. And it just happened to be that we were, you know, going to concerts and doing shows and going to shows, and the band and the artists were reacting to it. And we're like, this is more authentic to who we are, right? We're not trying to be Surf Skate Snow. We're just guys hanging out. And the musician guys took to it, and we're like, this is our direction. Let's use the music world as our hub that then can branch out into skate, snow, motocross, whatever you're into, you know, construction, you know, office work. I'm a radio guy. Whatever you're doing, the music could be the hub, and then it opened us up to so many more people. We're not segmented into skate. We're not segmented into surf or snow or whatever it was, right? Bicycling. So we thought, one, it's more authentic to who we are, and it would allow us a broader reach than just being pigeonholed into one market. Okay. And thank goodness, you know, I think it's working.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you use music as a kind of an overarching, but is there a particular genre, if you will, that you tend to relate more, or people relate more to the brand?
We have definitely trended more in the rock and metal world, just because that's where, you know, we kind of lived and a lot of our connections were in. But we have singer-songwriters, we have, you know, every electronic music now, DJs. So we've branched out overall, but definitely rock and metal is our core.
Okay. What's your primary distribution for the product?
Right now, direct-to-market.
Oh, okay.
We've had every, you know, different way of distribution you can imagine. We've done mass market, you know, mass retail with Spencer's.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We've done e-commerce early on. We started with that. We've done the mom-pa shops, you know, the local skate shops and all of that, the music stores. We've done all of that. But in this day and age, in 2019, we are now direct-to-consumer, and we are using our artists out there on the road trying to make a living. They are our mobile retail, or pop-up retail is the buzzword, right? Mobile retail, pop-up retail. So we now offer our product either direct to consumer or through our artists who will become our salespeople on the road.
Okay.
But the profit stays with them. So that's the way we're doing it now.
Okay. What are some of the bands that are I'll call your A-listers that you might have right now?
I hate name dropping.
Okay.
This is not who we are. No, but you know, we got the Slipknots, the Disturbed, the Hell Yeah, guys like that. But for me, we champion anyone that wants to try and make a go of it.
Okay.
So we you know, the up and coming, the unknowns per se, but that could be the next Metallica.
Right.
So that really gets us going in supporting, you know, the up and coming and the industry as a whole.
It's really about supporting music.
Correct.
Right?
It's a community.
Are you at the NAMM show?
We go to the NAMM show, yes, nice. Sir.
Okay. That was in February?
There's two shows, so the music convention show.
Okay.
So we actually do work with instrument companies.
Okay.
Some we actually do merchandise production for.
Okay.
So we are on a business level and on a communication level with them to go, how can we benefit our artists? So we have a music program, and we work with instrument companies because they're in the same boat we are.
Mm-hmm.
They need distribution. They need to get their product out there. We offer them a different outlet and a little more unique marketing opportunity. So that's how we do it. So, yes, we're on the business side, but we're really around the community of the artist.
Nice strategy. Yeah, I mean, I think this is all great stuff for the listeners, because, again, it isn't just because you have a product and it's typically sold through a mom and pop that mm-hmm. you have to necessarily take that direction and really stepping back and really thinking. So many times I talk about a lot of my clients, when I start working with them, they want to get right to the tactical stuff. What's the strategy?
Mm-hmm.
Let's step back. Let's work on the business, not just in the business. And I think that's a really important lesson. So you've been around this industry for a while. Why do you think, or what are the stumbling blocks that I'll call it a typical apparel company needs to kind of look out for in helping to navigate them and giving them some advice on how to navigate a 23-year-old journey?
We've run the gamut. Most lose focus. Most get too big too fast. And then infighting starts. We want to do this. No, we want to do that. They lose focus on their core mission. They try to be everything to everybody, and you end up being nothing to everybody. So that is the biggest thing, I think, and also not too much, too fast, and too big, and then one little hiccup, and you're done.
Now, you mentioned Spencer in part of your conversation here. So talk about that, because Spencer Gifts, and we all have seen him in the malls and always looking for unique things in Spencer. So how did you end up in Spencer's, and was that a good strategy, bad strategy?
That was 2003, 2004 time frame. We were getting bigger. We had definitely a following. We were in the area, and they were looking for new stuff. They came to us going, we want to change our look and feel of the stores. They wanted to have some concept stores and get more in the music side of it, right? Mm-hmm. A little more backstage. And we're like, this is perfect. They came to us to license it, which is a whole other side of the business. And it all sounded great. We're like, this is perfect. This is going to be our flagpole, our one place that we can send people, or people can find Dirtbag, what we want to do, our vision. And it went better than expected. We were supposed to launch in 50 stores. They did a test. It tested off the charts. We're going to roll it out national. Tremendously well. We treated every associate, sales associate, like a band member or a crew member.
Okay.
Gave them all a product. They championed what we were doing. People come in the store. They go, we got this Dirtbag product. Here's the story. So now we had them telling our story. Mm-hmm. It went great. And then big business came in and goes, we're going to do this and this and this. And we're like, but that's not what we're about. And it just kind of went sideways.
How long was that time frame?
Year and a half.
Wow. So fairly quickly.
It was quick. It was definitely a quick marriage. But they wanted to cash in right away. They were short term. We were long term. Mm-hmm. I'd rather make, you know, a dollar every day versus $10 for the week and be done. So we were thinking long term. They were thinking short term. How can we maximize the profit? Which is their prerogative. You know, they're into business to make as much money as possible. But we were looking at it. We wanted to be a marquee brand in our segment, right? We want to be a Billabong, a Quiksilver, a Vans, that type of brand for our music community. That's what we did. And they didn't have the same vision. So we're like, thanks, but no thanks.
Right. Well, you know, protecting your brand ultimately is the utmost. I mean, you have T-shirts or other different types of product. However, it's about the brand, because if the brand loses its cachet, if the brand gets off the road, if you will, that's detrimental to everything. So give me a kind of your philosophy on branding and kind of your commitment to, and really stewarding your brand.
Well, people, T-shirts are T-shirts. People are buying, when they buy Dirtbag, they're buying the culture of what we're selling. So we're cultivating the culture of what we're doing, the community of the music community, what we're trying to foster, the fellowship, right? And that is what, to me, that's what people are buying into. I say at least once or twice a month to everyone on the team, guys, what are people buying? When they buy Dirtbag, what are we representing? That's what we're selling. The community, the camaraderie, the, hey, I know you're struggling. I know you're giving everything you got to be that artist, to be that car builder, to be that mechanic, to be that construction guy. You're giving it your all. That's what we're selling. And they don't do, most people don't do that. The retailers, they just see dollars and cents, right? They want to make sure that cash register is open and dollars are going into it. They really don't care how they get it. We cared how we sold our product, so that's where the disconnect came.
Right. Well, they're protecting your brand as long as the cash register is ringing.
100%. They were trying to maximize it and maybe milk the cow a little bit faster than we wanted to, because then we lost control of that branding message.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about your tagline, wear it till it stinks. It's a really, as a branding guy, that's a really interesting tagline. So how did you come up with that, and what's the essence behind it?
When you're doing everything, when you're in it, right? If you're playing music, you're construction, the passion's oozing out of you, everything else doesn't matter, right? I'll wear that shirt 3-4 days in a row. That's what artists do. Right. They're on the road, in the van, with five other people, and it's not the easiest thing. So you really got to love what you're doing. So that's where the joke of, man, you got to wear it till it stinks.
Okay.
And it just kind of stuck. It stuck. And we're like, yeah, we're going to live with that. Because that really is the epitome of what we're about. When you're just, you know, going full bore, And, you know, we got to live up to that. If the product can't wear it till it stinks, we're not doing it right.
We're not doing it right. You know, real as a quick side, the talking about Long Beach State in the very beginning, mm-hmm. I have a friend of mine who was actually on the team when they became the Dirtbags.
Nice.
And so even though the story's kind of changed, his version was they had to go to the practice field, which was all dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just going for it, right? The passion, the commitment, and just tearing it up. And they walked away every day just filthy, and they started calling each other dirtbags. And that's how he says the story got started. I know it's kind of cleaned up and gotten a little more sexy over the years, but that's how he says it, which really is very relatable to what you're talking about.
Exactly the case, because you got to, you know, they're out there struggling, and you got to do it. And that's what dirtbag is about. You know, it's all the struggle.
Yeah. So how much time we got left there, engineer? A couple minutes. So let's talk about, we've covered a lot of different ideas, and again, these are 25-minute shows, so they go by really fast.
Whew.
But let's talk about a couple recommendations you can make to our listeners that are thinking about maybe launching an apparel business or frankly, any business.
Research what you want to do, see what's out there, and then start small. If you can't sell one t-shirt or one item widget, you can't sell 20, which reverts back to the excuse. You don't need 20 product when one will do.
Mm-hmm.
So start small, because especially nowadays, holy cow, there's so much out there that you test the market, because otherwise you'll blow $1 million and don't know where it's at.
Yeah. And it's not an inexpensive business, the apparel business, to get into. It's I'll call it easy in a sense, because you could just go down and get a design
100%.
And have somebody make it for you, but then you got a whole garage full of clothing, as I do when my son tried to get into the industry, and it was a great learning experience, but I have a bunch of apparel. I sell at all the swap meets.
Yeah, if you think you're going to go in, it's just like a band. If you think you're going to be the next Metallica overnight, you are in the wrong business.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that actually brings us to a conclusion. And thank you so much. It's very interesting. I love the conversation. So, John, why don't you tell the listeners about Dirtbag, how they can get a hold of you, where they can buy the clothes and all that good stuff.
Sure. Dirtbag.com. We keep it real simple. So everything will filter through Dirtbag.com. And if you have the passion for what you're doing, Dirtbag will literally be on your back.
All right,
and you can wear it till it stinks.
There we go. Ha, I love that. Thank you. Well, thank you for joining us at the cafe today. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, or view my show videos at theponzigroup.com, or connect with me on LinkedIn. And if your business is in need of a CMO and you're not ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me, and we can talk about the benefits of exploring the use of fractional CMOs. You can subscribe to the show at thebusinessgrowthcafe.com, or we are now on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Spreaker, and coming soon to many other platforms around the world. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.